Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. All right, we're so excited that you're with us today. This is the part two of the month of April, and I'm sitting in the podcast studio, as always, with...
Drew.
That's right, and...
Nicole.
So we are glad you are here.
Yes.
Joining us today. And Nicole is battling some allergies.
Who isn't?
Gosh. Me.
Oh, whatever.
Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, with all of our windows open and my poor son is sneezing all over the house, and I'm like, just get over it because it's warm out.
Oh, my gosh. I would not want to live in your house.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of mean. Kind of a mean mom moment.
But my dad is the same as me. So, like, we were like, barricade the doors. Barricade the windows. Keep them shut. And then we're like, oh, it's really hot. Should we turn on the air? I'm like, no!
Turn on the fan. Air on in April?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, allergy sufferers tend to turn them on a lot quicker.
That's true. And so, that is the joy of spring. So we're entering into the new season, and that's wonderful.
Yeah. No allergies, but I started my garden this week.
And you went on a bike ride.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
So you've had, there's your beginning of the spring moments have started for
now
you.
I've declared it into the atmosphere.
More flowers to make people allergy? No, like herbs.
I do vegetables and herbs.
Vegetables, yes.
Nice.
And fruits?
Yeah, like strawberries. And you can do cranberries and blueberries.
You planted a tree on your balcony.
No, I have done that before.
That's right.
I had an apple tree pear tree on my balcony.
That's funny. I got confused.
So let me ask you this. In that, Drew, do you start them, like, are they a little starter kits that you start in your house, or have you already planted them outside?
Well, okay, in previous years, I've always done pots, and then I've just bought the plant from a nursery or from places. This year, I started a starter kit.
So okay,
I have, I have little, you know, seedlings, and I put start them from seed. So I've never done that before, and I probably should have started a month ago, but I didn't, and I did this weekend, and so... We'll see. But seeds are, I would recommend, do not go the seed route. Because when I was buying seeds, they're just as expensive, almost, as buying the plants themselves. Huh. So I'm like, well, shoot, next year I'm not doing this at all.
Totally, because you can get a really nice basil plant for cheap at, like, well, I don't know, at a grocery store.
So for all of you listeners, just buy the plants, okay?
So what are you, what are you planting?
I did basil, oregano, cilantro, parsley, bunch of different types of lettuce. Kale, spinach, Swiss chard.
Ew.
Yum.
Oh, sorry.
Strawberries.
Did I say that out loud?
And then I will do, I haven't bought them yet, but I, because they, some of the places didn't have them. I went to a couple of places around, they didn't have them, but beans, tomatoes, peppers.
You're not going to be able to walk on your balcony.
And then I'll do a couple other stuff. So.
So you'll do these in pots?
Yeah, I do them in pots, and then they grow, and then I have vegetables to eat. You know, for when I do the limited amount of time that I cook.
Sustainable living. That's what you're going for. I love it.
It is because I don't eat meat, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Everything that I can, except I can't grow rice.
That's a bummer.
Dang. Or chickpeas.
Pasta. Is there a pasta tree?
That would be awesome, man.
So I could grow my pasta plant. And I could grow my bread plant. Then... You know, I
need a candy plant. That's all I need is a candy
jelly
plant.
Jelly bean candy
plant. I'm a Dr. Pepper plant, and then.
Oh my gosh! I miss the avocado trees in Malawi and the mango trees in Mali. Super, like, seriously, you go to a grocery store and you're like, these are not mangoes.
Right.
I'm like, sadness. It's
They had lime trees and lemon trees at this one place I went to.
Yum.
This one place that I went to?
Yeah, over the weekend. They had lime tree.
Nice. That makes sense.
And grapefruit. I've never seen them grow grapefruit trees.
I don't like grapefruit.
Well, that's fun. So we'll keep you all up to date on how Drew's
gardening. Let you know how it goes.
How that goes. And if we get to enjoy any morsels of his
we should do a new segment.
Efforts.
Like cultivating bedroom.
Drew's lifestyle choices.
What seasoning works best on chicken? Oh, wait, no.
Gardening 101 by Drew.
Stay tuned for that in our future podcast. Right.
Awesome. We'll have to work that one in. Yeah. I'm sure we can come up with some way to relate it to scripture. So, yes.
Oh, yes, you could. Very well could.
Sowing seeds and reaping. And...
That's right.
You reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow. It's true. Well, before we end this silliness and get into our topic today, we had a really awesome event that happened here in the city of Omaha this last week, and it's a tour that's going around the country. So it's called the Outcry Tour, and Nicole and I were both able to be present at it was a worship night with the bands Elevation and Jesus Culture. Martin Smith joined them, Carrie Jobe, and Hillsong.
Kind of all of them.
Yeah, it was amazing. It lasted forever. Started at 6:30 and ended after 11. But it was so great to see 14,000 people that are from the church in the city of Omaha all gathered together, just worshiping the Lord. You looked around, it was this sea of just hands lifted high to Jesus, and it felt like...
Unless you're on the floor like me, and then you couldn't see anything.
On the floor, yes. Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Yeah, I did love our seats because we could see the sea of all the believers, and it was so awesome to think, wow, this is a little glimpse of what we'll be partaking in. So if you were able to be there... it was really an incredible night of just real worship and just believing the Lord for what he's doing in our city, which coincided with, you know, God's perfect timing with what we're in the middle of right now in our city, the Everybody Wins campaign, which is just, we are desiring to reach our city for Christ in Omaha. And so 38 churches have really come together in compassion projects, messages on Sunday that are kind of all hitting the mark, the same kind of theme, and God's just doing some great things here. So I'm very excited about what is happening in our city, and I feel like Outcry, even the timing of the date picked and everything.
Yeah, it was really, it felt random, but obviously it wasn't. It was really cool, and because not every church is doing it.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, I don't know who, you know, you look and you're like, man, where do you go to church?
Yes.
Where do you go to
church?
I want to worship at your church. Like, that's really fun. But, it was interesting. And I know, Kristen and I both, it's like, I walk 2 feet.
Took forever to get to our seats.
It's like, So it was cool to be able to see so many different, you can just tell, like, different backgrounds and different... it was that north, south, east, west is kind of coming together in one location.
Right, to exalt the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That the whole night was just to exalt his name.
And I'm a concert person. I've gone to so many concerts in my life, and I'm like, I don't think I've ever been to this style of a worship concert, you know, tour, whatever, where it was just worship. And It was a really different feel, and each band brought a different feel to their worship style and their almost, you know, their take on worship. But I really appreciated just what they brought. So.
Yeah, it was really, really great. So if you were there, we were part of it with you, and just celebrating Jesus and who he is in our lives through in the city of Omaha. So we're going to be moving into the podcast topic today, and we're doing part two of prayer and faithfulness. So stay tuned, and we're going to just jump right into that conversation. Corey Russell has a quote that says, "Prayer is the most impactful and powerful thing we can do. Though it feels weak, this is how God has determined to release his kingdom." And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like one of the reasons why people, you know, I'll include myself in that, are not staying faithful in prayer is because it does. One of the barriers to that is that this weak place of weakness where it doesn't feel like anything's really happening. So we're just going to talk about a few maybe barriers that where you recognize, wow, I'm not praying, and this could be one of the reasons. Just stepping into, and we really want to just help you and even just encourage our hearts as we're just talking about remaining faithful, staying faithful in prayer.
And one of the barriers, and I've pulled these right out of Corey Russell's book, I think it's Our Words.
Why Our Words Why to Our God Words
Matter to God. We're not exactly prayer. Sure about that.
Why Our Words
Matter. Oh, prayer. Why Our Words Matter to God.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay, so.
It's a great book.
It is a great book. So the first barrier that he mentions is pride. And how he describes that is just an independent spirit being self-sufficient. And he says we're a self-sufficient people, independent, kind of standing on our own resources and our own ability to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. So one of the barriers can be why we're not faithful is we either feel like God isn't going to answer, or maybe this isn't even something he would be interested in answering or responding. And so we're just going to muster through it and we're going to just do it on our own. Mm-hmm. And what I think happens in that, and we talked about this a little bit, is that when you're prideful, it causes you to, you just kind of get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just can't, you can't get out because you're focused on self, on the flesh. I'm going to do it. That whole, it's just a misconception of our response to the Lord in our life situations.
Well, I think that ties so much in with this quote of weakness.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you're stuck in pridefulness, you don't want to be weak.
Oh, that's good.
You don't. Yeah. You don't. You're like, no, I'm strong. I'm strong enough. I can get through this. I can do this myself. That's my natural mm-hmm. bent tendency. And so there, in the area of prayer, I feel like sometimes even that line of pridefulness is a hard one to find.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this is one that I struggle with
mm-hmm.
a lot, actually, because I am that person who's like, oh, you know what? I can do it. I can do it all on my own. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. But that's obviously really a lie. It's just not true. I mean, let's just call it what it is. So I get that one a lot.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that from you?
Yeah, Drew? I mean, obviously, I think you couldn't find a person on the earth who doesn't deal with pride. And if they say they don't, then, you know.
They're dealing with pride.
They're definitely dealing with it. And so, you know, we don't think often, though, that we do deal with pride. You know, we generally think like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good for the most part. And but yet our actions speak so much louder than our voices sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think we like to think like, okay, yeah, if I do this, I do this, and I do this, and I do this, then the Lord will fix my situation, mm-hmm. or the, my situation will fix itself.
Exactly.
Or I will have done the things that will have fixed my situation. And the it's not a formula. Like,
it, right. it,
there's no formula that gets our situation, you know, perfect. It's not like, okay, you know, we read our Bible 20 minutes a day, and we mm-hmm. pray, you know, this amount of times per day, and we do this, and then, you know, if I do all those things, and I have a good job, and I'm nice to my family, or mm-hmm. blah, 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 then, you know, the Lord will, my life will go well,
mm-hmm.
and it just doesn't work that way. It's, sometimes that formula proves to be true,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it doesn't, but the, even if we did all the things in the formula, and it worked out for us, we'd be missing the point of prayer, mm-hmm. that is to connect with,
right.
with God, and we think that prayer is a means to an end, and
right.
so that's really why we don't do it very often, because we'd rather, we think we have all these other means to our mm-hmm. end that we want, and
mm-hmm.
prayer is the end in itself,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
to mm-hmm. connect with the Lord. So,
and I think, gosh, it does, maybe this is just showing some stuff.
It's good.
But it's that weakness. Mm-hmm. When we come to the Lord in prayer, whether it's a thanksgiving or it's a request, like whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, as what we're interceding for or just spending time with the Lord for, with, it's that place of humility and having to mm-hmm. bring yourself to the Lord and say, I can't do this on my own. I can't muster up enough strength to get through this struggle or, mm-hmm. You know, to make this happen or whatever life circumstance it is. And I think that in our society and in our culture, that's not okay in so many facets of life. And we allow that to come over into our relationship with the Lord. And he's like, no, I want you to be weak so that mm-hmm. I can be strong in you, through you, show myself faithful, as we're talking about, faithfulness. Because it's just so him showing himself to us that he is a good father, that he will come through in every circumstance. And in the issue of pride, we think we can make it work. And that's not always God's answer. God's answer may not be yes to the thing that we're praying about. It may be no. And we're going to, out of pride, we try to make it work anyways. And he's like, no, I already shut that door. And we just keep pounding on the same door. And he's like, oh, Nicole, like, come on now. I said no to that. And so I think that the pride is, it's a barrier because we're not hearing his word. We're not hearing what he's saying in it. And I think that that, it's a mixture, at least for me.
Well, and when you look at, like, if pride is the barrier, then the flip side of pride is going to be what opens the door to even us being faithful. It's pride, opposite of that is humility. So walking humbly before the Lord, recognizing in my weakness you are strong. You give grace to the humble, that that will be, that will be where the answers, because it's all about relationship. Kind of back to what you were saying, Drew. So, so in that, we've got a barrier, which is pride, and then the barrier remover, where the door opens, is in the place of humility, of being humble. And then a second barrier that Corey Russell talks about is unbelief. And Hebrews says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. So this unbelief is really, it's the wrong views of God. It's the wrong views of who we are, which destroys our relationship with the Lord. It destroys that prayer life because we don't see him rightly, and we don't see ourselves rightly. Any thoughts on that one?
I think this one is tricky because, I mean, I think more even than pride, no one would ever want to say that they're in unbelief. Like they don't they don't believe the Lord or, you know, all the things. But I think we think of unbelief as we don't believe that there is a God. And it's so much more than, like, obviously we believe that there's a God, but we sometimes believe in his existence without believing in his power or his willingness to actually move in on our behalf or his... We don't believe that he actually likes us. We believe that he's mostly angry at us and he's just waiting for us to make mess up so that, you know, he can punish us again. And so our unbelief looks a lot of different ways. It doesn't look just like, I don't believe that God exists. Because we hear about that in the, you know, the media and society that we live in. But what unbelief can manifest itself so many different ways. And it's tricky to kind of diagnose because we generally don't think that we're in unbelief most of the time. But it really can come up in unexpected ways, you know, where you think that you're believing and trusting the Lord, but your, again, your actions might not show that. And kind of goes back to, is this a formula that I'm doing so the Lord will do something? Or is this something I'm doing to connect with him, whether or not he does something?
It reminds me of that scripture where, I don't know if it's the, I don't remember who it is. It's the man who says, Lord, you know, would you, I believe, but help my unbelief. Like there's that, that both and. I believe, and I do feel like there are times, and probably in our own, each of us in our hearts, we have areas we've seen God's faithfulness, so we can stand and we believe nothing is going to move us from that place of belief. But there might be other areas where we haven't seen a breakthrough or we have been contending for so long. And so there is that little unbelief of, oh, I'm just not really, I'm not really sure. Does he, has he noticed this? Is like where we could find ourselves in that place of unbelief. And so we might be like that man in scripture who cries out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So the opposite of unbelief then would be believing, belief, that would give us that place to stand, that, and it really is knowing who God is, because when I know what his character is, I know who he is in my life, even if it's not being manifest in my life, I don't waver in unbelief. I'm not tossed around, you know, thrown around with the wind, because I know who he is, and I'm standing on his character, the soundness of who he is, because he's unchanging, you know. Which I think is why that Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him, because we have to know he exists, that he is who he says he is, he is the I am, he is deliver, all the character traits that we personally have discussed and walked through in our life and studied out. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take just a short break. I think we're going to hear a review by Drew, and then we'll come back and we'll finish our discussion on in this part two of prayer and faithfulness.
Well, once again, welcome back to Reviews by Drew, our favorite segment of the podcast, and of course, I'm Drew. And this month, I have a special treat for all of you listeners. Instead of one review, I am doing two reviews. That's right, two for the price of one this month. Buy one, get one free. Here we go. So our first review is called The God Ask, and it's a written by Steve Shadrach. And it's a fresh biblical approach to personal support raising is kind of the tagline on that. And so this book, a lot of the staff here at One Hop have been reading through it a little bit as we've been raising our own support team. And then the second book, which is related, is called The Fully Funded Missionary by Rob Parker. And again, it's the same theme of raising support for missionaries. And both of the books really give the biblical basis for why missionaries can raise support, and it goes through some of the themes from the Old Testament and the tabernacle and the Levites, as well as the New Testament, with Jesus having his own support team, Paul having his support team, and others throughout the New Testament who gave us a basis for what it looks like to raise support as a missionary, and then also gives practical tips and insights on how to do that. So for all of you who are missionaries, whether that is domestically in something like a house of prayer or in youth organizations, or globally where you are sent overseas to another country to do missions, I would highly encourage that you look into these two books for just looking at the practical and biblical reasons for support raising. And of course, obviously, many of us who are in this field know that support raising is generally the worst part about the job. No one really likes to do it. Everyone sees it as the necessary evil. And hopefully, reading through these two books can kind of change that paradigm that we have and look at it more of something that is used as part of our ministry and something that is really a connecting tool in the body of Christ as we are connecting the goers and the senders together to partner with the work of the Lord. So once again, that is The God Ask by Steve Shadrach and The Fully Funded Missionary by Rob Parker. And so check those two out. We'll be putting those on our website and on our Facebook page, and you can look more into those yourself.
Reviews by Drew, and we'll pick up. I know he did two today in that review section. So grab one of those books and just take a look and see if you want to join us in the house of prayer and raise your own support,
or supporting another missionary,
Yes, we're going to jump right back into the topic for today, and we're talking about prayer and faithfulness. And we just looked at a couple barriers to prayer and faithfulness, to just kind of what causes our hearts to not be faithful in prayer. And we looked at pride and unbelief. And we're going to just wrap up with the next two. And this one is called and again, these are from Corey Russell's book. And this one is just basically having a lack of revelation of our own identity, of who we are in Christ, really not knowing the life that we live in this relationship with Jesus. And so we just wanted to talk about this for a couple minutes, and then we'll go on to the last barrier. And really what can happen in this is that we don't have a right frame, maybe of who we are in. So it's like a wrong view of who we are in the place of standing before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And also, really, it connects also to the wrong view of God. Again, I feel like that one is still connected. In all of these, actually, it's a wrong view of God. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, and I think part of it has to go with what you shared too earlier, Drew, that when we don't really know that we are a son or a daughter, we can have, what one of the things that can stop us in prayer is thinking, well, I've sinned, or I haven't been good enough, and so God doesn't even want to hear me. That can really affect us, not having an understanding of, wait, he's my father, he loves me, he sees me righteous, I stand in the place of covered by the blood of Jesus. So all of that can affect us, and I do think we can grow, we do grow in our identity of who we are if we're pursuing him. Because I will tell you, I have more revelation now than I did when I was 22 and first gave my, you know, heart to Jesus. So I don't know if you guys have any anything to add to that, or even in your own experience in that.
Well, I think for me, when just kind of what you were talking about, especially as the sons and as sons and daughters, and I think maybe my, like, the 20s and 30s year old people are struggling with this, especially since we are a very large fatherless generation. Mm-hmm. I think that so often I've heard it with the teens and 20 year olds, it's, we relate to God as earthly parents. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say just fathers, because mothers too,
right,
as earthly parents. And so, yeah, if you feel like you've messed up, you're not going to want to come before God, your father, because you feel afraid, possibly, or ashamed, or like, I can't go and ask him for something because I messed up in this area. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it is the wrong view of God in that aspect. And it so ties, it's such a tie-in to who we are, who he is, and really, the only thing that I have found for me to get over that lack of revelation of who I am in Christ is literally just saying, Holy Spirit, help.
Yeah.
I need a right view of God. Yes. And you're the only one who can do it, because he's the only one who can cover the, you know, the unfortunate mistakes that of my own parents, you know, or parents around that have negatively impacted their children. And so only he can come in, heal those wounds, and correct how we think about God. And that's at least for me what I have found to correct, you know, to correct this lack of revelation is asking Holy Spirit to give me revelation of who I am and who God is.
And meditating on scripture. Yeah. I think meditating on what God says about me and what God says about himself has helped to shape and frame my understanding, the revelation of who I am in him and who he is to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that it's important that not only do we understand our position of God that, you know, heals us from all the broken wounds and all the other areas of our life with relating to our own earthly parents or with other authority figures or whatever, but also just looking at humanity as in the position that we have before God as being completely unique and set apart from the rest of creation. The animals don't have the same position that we do. The angels don't have the same position that we do. Even the angels in the throne room and the living creatures in the throne room don't have that same position. They don't have the same heart connect to God that we as humans do. And yet they're still engaging in prayer, and they're still engaging in adoration and worship before the throne on a day and night basis, obviously. But it doesn't even mean that much, as much to the Lord as it does when we do, because of the position and the heart connect that we have to him that's totally set apart from every other part of creation. And if we understand that, wow, like, my praise means more than the praise of even those in the throne room right now, then I think it changes, like, oh, okay, I want to do that more.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
It means a lot more, so I want to do it more.
Right. And I think one of the things that the Lord has really shown me over the years, too, is that my relationship with the Lord, with Father, with Son and with Holy Spirit mm-hmm. is out of my experience pretty much with everybody on earth that I've ever met. You know, like, he never fails. Mm-hmm. So I've never experienced a relationship with anyone on earth that's never failed. You know, I mean, so it's completely outside of the realm of really any other relationship I've ever had.
Yeah.
So to go in with an understanding of, I won't even be able to fully have revelation of your goodness toward me, your love towards me, mm-hmm. your acceptance of me, even in my weakness and in my sin and in my failures, but that I call myself the beloved. I call myself a son or a daughter. Mm-hmm. So, and then the last one that we have that we're going to address today, one of the barriers. So, wait a minute, before we go on. So the barrier is the lack of revelation of who we are. Mm-hmm. What propels us into prayer is mm-hmm. understanding who we are, having revelation.
Yeah.
And then the last one that we're going to look at today is having, again, it's a lack of revelation concerning the impact of prayer itself. Intercession doesn't feel effective to us, so we can conclude that it doesn't have an impact on God. Like, it's just mm-hmm. a waste of our time. It's a waste of our energy. And that is such a misunderstanding.
It's such a lie from the enemy.
It is.
I mean, he just, it's such a lie from the enemy. He wants to shut down that mm-hmm. that place of prayer so badly and mm-hmm. break up that connection. Because we know, like, just the authority that we have mm-hmm. in prayer. Mm-hmm. And he knows that authority, mm-hmm. too. And I feel like that it is a lack of understanding, but I think it's just such a lie of the enemy, and it's something that we have to break off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially in this generation, we have to break it off. Mm-hmm.
Because it's the place, it's good, because it's the place of prayer where that's where God's government comes in power. His government, his kingdom is released mm-hmm. from prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy does not want us tapping in to that revelation. So, going back
to the quote.
Corey Russell's quote, prayer is the most impactful and powerful thing we can do. Though it feels weak, this is how God has determined to release his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to, like, press through saying, you know, it doesn't matter how we feel about it. We know it matters to God. We know it's valuable to him.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the way that we connect with God. You know, the way that we connect with the uncreated, unseen, you know, God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, the enemy wouldn't want us to connect on a personal level with the Lord either. And so I think mm-hmm. understanding that it is the prime, you know, outlet to mm-hmm. connecting with God. It's the prime way that we connect to his power
mm-hmm.
and to his authority. And that understanding that, of course, we'll break off the idea that, break off the lack of revelation
mm-hmm.
and will propel us to want to be faithful and continue mm-hmm. in prayer more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So those are like those four barriers. And I'm going to say them again, pride, which the opposite of that would be humility, which causes our hearts to run into that place of prayer. Unbelief, the opposite of that is belief. Lack of revelation concerning our identity in Christ. Having revelation of who we are gives us the position that we stand in the place of prayer and intercession. And then the last one, that lack of revelation concerning the impact of prayer, the opposite of that is the revelation mm-hmm. of how powerful it is and how God desires. It's all about relationship. You know, prayer mm-hmm. is all about
mm-hmm.
he just wants to relate to us, mm-hmm. wants to pour his love on us, mm-hmm. he wants us to pour our love on him. And so the enemy will come in. And our own flesh, whatever, if it doesn't give us the immediate satisfaction and gratification, flesh cries out, which is why we have to be violent against our flesh.
So that will conclude our podcast for this month. And we continue to encourage you to stay faithful in that area of mm-hmm. prayer. And also, it's not too late to jump into our giving campaign this month. Make sure to check out our Facebook page and like that and share that with your friends, and you can be entered into our drawing for one of our resources that have been featured on Reviews by Drew. And then also check out our GoFundMe page and give online as well to the furthering the day and night prayer in our city of mm-hmm. Omaha. as we build the House of Prayer here. And so we will see you next month on